social program on Radio Islam International, and joining us on the line is Malana Ibrahim Abam. Malana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and assalamu alaikum to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam.
Jazakumullah khairan, Malana, for joining us on the program this morning. How is Malana doing?
Alhamdulillah, Allah has been kind. One or two challenges, health challenges, but Allah requests duas from the listeners. But Alhamdulillah, Allah has been very, very kind.
Alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep you healthy, Malana. Amar, the book that we are looking at this week, a new book that we will start to discuss in the different chapters in the book as well. The book titled Stop Worrying, Relax and Be Happy by Muhammad Al-Ghazali.
Yes, Mana, very interesting. We looked at it. I don't know how we stumbled across this book during Ramadan, myself and you, Morana, and we thought that maybe this looks to be something in line with our theme, and we thought that maybe we will serialize it during the course of our programs. And Muhammad al-Ghazali is a very prominent Egyptian scholar and author. He has written, according to what you look on Google, something like 60 to 90 books that he has written. And one of the most important books of his was the seerah of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this book is interesting in the sense that Muhammad al-Ghazali says that he read the book by Dale Carnegie, translated into Arabic, and he felt that he should give the theme from there and use Islamic evidence with regard to some of the themes that are spoken about by this book. Now, we know that Dale Carnegie is a very famous author, and I think the one book that he wrote was that How to Win Friends or Influence, something of that sort. So so he said that is the reason why I, you know, thought that I will look at that theme, Stop Worrying and Start Living by Dale Carnegie, and translated into Arabic, and I will then put the Quranic verses into some of the themes and give a Quranic and an Islamic understanding of some of the themes, because these type of books do become very well read across the spectrum, and that is how the theme or how this particular book started off from. And I thought it was a very, very interesting way of looking at something, that you take something and which has become popular, and you take that particular aspect and you give the Islamic perspective with regard to it. So I think it was very interesting. So that is the book itself. You know, so there's many books with regard to one can always speak and take a book and just you don't have to agree with every aspect of a book. You take it and you start looking at it. And among the books that has been written by Dale Carnegie is How to Stop Worrying and Start Living, which has become the basis of this book. The Art of Public Speaking, The Quick and Easy Way to Effective Speaking. And of course, you even have courses that are done by the Dale Carnegie Foundation to give you confidence. Now, I'm not saying that people must do it, but I'm just sort of giving it to you as a means of information. So this book is something that came about because of this theme of written by Dale Carnegie, and he has put it forward with regard to putting Quranic ayats with regard to the themes and looking at it from an Islamic perspective.
And there's different chapters in the book, and as we go along, inshallah, we'll look at the different chapters in the book as well. Actually, I recall, I think it was one of the listeners in one of the Suhoor programs, we were speaking about books, and they mentioned this book of Muhammad al-Ghazali.
Yes, that's how it came. Yes.
And then I remember Maya immediately messaged me and said that this could be an interesting book to do on the social program.
Yeah, I immediately booked it, and Jazakallah, you found out where it was and you sourced it. And it's good to have a relative in the book business. business.
Certainly is one, certainly is.
I must tell you, sir, books are very interesting now. When I was coming here to the office and you said I was starting a new book, then I thought that, you know, our people nowadays, you know, everyone will come and say, now, you might even get some of our friends, you know, our friends, they will start taking this book and said, all right, there is this particular aspect in the book, and then it will make a whole, it will give people a little bit something to do. They might take out a pamphlet to say this is a book with regard to Maulana is doing this book, and this is a book. Anyway, there was a book written many years ago. When I was a student, I used to read a lot of books, and sometimes used to read good old books, and sometimes used to read novels, and you know, something. Of course, I read Alex Haley while I was studying, you know, about the roots. And while I was studying, there was a book that, when I was studying, I found it very, very fascinating. It was called The Man. Now, what was the theme of this particular book or something like this? I don't know the exact details. The President of America and a few of his very close people, the Secretary of State and all of those people died. I think it was in an air crash. Now, according to the Constitution, there was a line of people who were supposed to succeed the American president if something happens to him. And somewhere around the fifth or the sixth person who takes his place in the case that everyone died, first one died, second one died, third one died, I think it was the Speaker of the House of Representatives, something like that. As I said, I'm not sure about the exact details, but more or less you can get the gist of what I'm saying. And that person happened to be a black person. And all of a sudden, he was thrust into the limelight, and he was made the president of America in a very racially divided and an apartheid country, which still look upon white supremacy. And that whole book makes mention of his trials as he took up that responsibility as the first black person to lead America and become the president of America. It was, you know, fascinating. And in terms of the different type of challenges he received and the racial slurs and abuse he received and how he raises above that and he makes a success of becoming the leader. So, yes, it was one of those books when I was, you know, young. It was something that caught my imagination. So books are books. You take books and you always look at what you can benefit from. And any book, unless, of course, it is something that is based on Quran and Hadith. If a person writes a book about his personal experiences, you might agree upon something, you might not agree upon something, but there is something that you can benefit from.
Yeah, that any book that a person reads, there will be something that you will pick up on. There will be some qualities or some lessons that you can pick up on, and also practice or bring about in your life as well. And together with that, of course, there will be things that you disagree as well, and that you got to leave out as well. Ma, the first chapter of this book here, a very interesting chapter, and of course, when starting a new book, it's very that they start off with this chapter as well, Renew Your Life.
Very, very interesting. And let me start, put it forward with regard to how, he started. You see, there's a very often a strong desire within people to make a fresh start in their lives. Right. However, they link this long-awaited new beginning to make a fresh start in your life. Now, when you talk about a fresh start in your life, it means I want to change for the better. Whether it be health-wise, whether it be spiritual-wise, because spiritual is the most important thing. I want to make myself a better human being. I want to become more conscious of Allah Ta'ala. I want to become better in my akhlaq. I want to be doing better in terms of everything that I do. So this is something that is, and maybe Maulana, it is so apt at this particular time, because many a times that desire to renew your life comes about many a times at the time of after Ramadan. So after Ramadan, many a times people have this desire that we want to change our life. And it lasts for some time, and then many a times it just gets washed away by the mundane activities and the routine of life. And so you'll see that you will be reading Quran, and you'll be enjoying your reading, your tilawat, your zikr, you're staying away from things that are unnecessary, And, oh, you know, you think that now this is an ideal time for me. After Ramadan, I'm going to continue with this. And for 1-2 weeks, you continue. And then afterwards, you know, the very mundane activities of life and the routine of life get the better of you. But there is this desire after Ramadan to renew my life. So what the author says is many a times this particular type of new beginning is linked to an unknown dream. I've saw a dream, I want to improve my life conditions or change in status, or sometimes with a particular event, like for example after Ramadan or a new year, right? As a new year, I got some resolutions or a special occasion. Along with this deferment, they feel that an amazing power would emerge on that particular date, the 1st of Muharram, the 1st of January. Or after Ramadan, instilling activity and hope in the dull, hopeless, routine life. But this is a pure illusion. Renewal of life is not attached to an occasion. The renewal of life is not attached to an occasion. It's not attached to a date. It is not attached to something in life. It is normally comes about from your own self. Anyone who faces the world with willpower and steadfastness would never submit to the surrounding circumstances, but rather benefit from them, remaining calm, and then still renew his life, irrespective of the occasion, irrespective of the situation, irrespective of any particular time or any particular date or any particular thing that might have happened. The person should have the ability to renew his life if he makes use of his inner strength and potential by taking advantage of the chances that he may encounter during his lifetime to change and to renew his life. So maybe what we can also ask the question to the listeners, what was the catalyst for you to renew your life? And how did you find that making a difference in your life? Very interesting question. And I would like that maybe the listeners could give some consideration and share with us their thoughts on it. And Monana, you could just relate how they could share their thoughts with us.
You can WhatsApp us in studio here on 072-786-1548. The lines are also open. So if you'd like to give us a call and come on air as well, 011-854-1548. You can tweet us at Radio Islam as well, whichever way you'd like to share your thoughts and interact with us on this program. You can do so by the different platforms and the different mediums of social media. Mohan, you can continue.
Yes, sir. Yesterday, it's always interesting. I must say, many a times when you start off and you say that, listen, I made arrangements to get that book yesterday before Zohar. And when I went home to do a little bit of a rest, I started going through the book. And at night, while thinking about the theme of the book, I found a clip. And that clip was so interesting because it related to the theme. And when I thought I'm going to share it with you, and it's such an amazing example. They say the eagle has a very long lifespan, right? It lives for about 60, 70 years. However, around about 40 years, the eagle has to make a very, very important decision. And that decision is that at the age of 40, its beak, with which it hunts, and you know, some of the clips that you see of an eagle hunting. Sometimes it could go into the ocean and pick up a fish which it sees from the top, right? And it can pick it up because of its strong beak, right? And sometimes it even catches small sheep and even small antelope, right? Such is it. So its beak becomes very weak, right? It's no more able to pick up and hunt properly. And its claws also becomes weak. It cannot pick up, right? So at the age of 40, its claws becomes weak. Its beak is no more as strong as what it used to be. And its feathers become thick. so it cannot glide properly and it cannot fly properly. So at the age of 40, either it continues like that and it dies a natural death because it will not be able to feed itself, right? It will not become the means of its feeding, it would become lost. So the eagle goes away from its peers and everything, and it goes to the mountaintops. And in a very painful process, the eagle knocks its beak against the rock until the beak breaks. Right? And when the beak breaks, a new beak grows, which is much more stronger than and stronger than the one that it was at the age of 40. And with that new beak, the eagle tears away its claws. Right? So it tears away its claws, right? And it breaks its claws, and new claws grows. And it plucks its feathers, right? So that new feathers grow. So at the age of 40, the eagle does a renewal of life. And it thereafter is able to hunt for the next 30, 40 years because of the renewal that it did at the age of 40. Subhanallah. Now the 40 is very interesting, because at the age of 40, we have been told we're spiritually mature.
Right.
So in the Quranic ayat, wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention, وَبَلَغَ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً, a person reaches 40. At the age of 40, now that is supposed to be your spiritual maturity. Now, after that, you are supposed to start looking at life very differently from life before the age of 40.
Right.
But you see, so I'm just talking about this remarkable aspect of a renewal in life, which the eagle brings about in his life. Can you imagine what an amazing type of lesson?
Yeah, it's amazing. And I actually read about this eagle that does this change, and this process actually lasts for about 5 months. But once it's done, it's like a new bird, basically, with new life. And of course, there's many lessons that we can learn from. In order to change, sometimes we've got to get rid of those unpleasant old memories, the negative habits, or even our fixed mindsets, if we want to really renew our life.
Definitely, no doubt whatsoever. And sometimes people can make mention with regard to the renewal. I don't know if I have ever had a renewal or something. Maybe I need to do so.
We can't let Paul go away for 150 days. I don't know what
we're doing. One of the things that I will tell you is that if ever I have to renew my life, I always tell people, there was an alim who came recently from India. It was related to Shaykhul Islam, Hazrat Madni Rahmatullah Ali. He came from Moradabad. So he came to know about the different viewpoints of ulama here in South Africa. So he said that, do you ever feel that you need to relook at yourself and relook at some of your things that people are talking about? So I told him something, and I'm always very firm on that. And Allah Ta'ala keep me firm on that. And I told him something, so he said, Subhanallah, what a beautiful reply you gave me. So I told him that I am worried about my own individual salvation and my own individual deeds in front of Allah Ta'ala. That I will always constantly ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. And I'm worried that will Allah Ta'ala forgive me or not, while I am expecting and hopeful that Allah will forgive me. That's my own personal self. But I don't apologize for the steps and the decisions that the organization makes. That I will stand by it with confidence. The decisions that Jamiat make, I stand by it. My own personal amal, that is something that I'm worried with regard to it. So I'll make mention of it again. And this is something that I tell our people, stand by with confidence. We've made a decision, this is our decision. Yes, we could be perhaps wrong, but this is a decision we made. And I'm not apologizing with regard to the decision Jamiat make. But yes, I am worried about my own amal, my own deeds, that I will ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. So that is something that maybe there's a renewal of life needed in our own particular situations and circumstances.
Continue to share your thoughts, 072-786-1548. We are speaking about the book, Stop Worrying, Relax and Be Happy by Muhammad Al-Ghazali. The chapter, or the first chapter in the book, is titled Renew Your Life. Let us know what was the catalyst for you to renew your life. You can send us a message on 072-786-1548. Give us a call on 011-854-1548. It's now time for the half-hourly headlines. On the other side of that, we'll continue with the program. The social program on Radio Islam International with Maulana Ibrahim Palm. Today we're discussing the chapter from the book Stop Worrying, Relax and Be Happy. The chapter Renew Your Life. What are the steps, what are the advices that are shared in this book if a person wants to renew their life, that you want to start off a new beginning perhaps? How do you go about doing that? It's not about waiting for the perfect moment or waiting till the circumstances change or you move into a different house or you buy some different item and then you feel that your life will really change. That every day you have to make a decision, that every day that you wake up you have an option to live a better day than what you did yesterday. It's all about what you do with what you have, rather than looking at materialistic things and looking at things that could possibly change your life, but rather appreciate what you have, appreciate the time that you have, and in that way there you are able to renew your life, Maulana.
Yes, and I think, Maulana, one of the things that you have said, and maybe we would like to listen to the listeners with regard to what do they feel about how do they have renewed their life, what is the main thing with regard to renewing our life. Today, and as I said, that we look up renewal because of a particular occasion, because of a change in status, maybe after Ramadan, in the beginning of a new year. But at the end of the day, all renewal comes from your own self. The Mufti Taqi Usmani has written a book on individual reformation. And I'll just read some of the things that are there. When we glance at the world today, it apparently seems that civilization and development has reached the height of its development. Today, mankind has harnessed the mysteries of nature to its benefit. In the words of Iqbal, mankind has enchained the world and has subjugated it for his own ends and his own benefits. But yet, despite that, the heart of humankind is devoid of tranquility. His soul is unhappy. Modern civilization is taking him at breakneck speed, for he knows not where is going to be the end. And every time there is something new, artificial intelligence, and then there is something that is new. And he said one of the reasons for that is, despite human achievements with regard to technology, it is helpless in one of the most important things, and that is the rearing and the raising of virtuous individuals of faith and good character and akhlaq. Machines and goods have been fashioned, but not humankind. We have made so much of effort on technology, but we have not made effort on the people who were supposed to operate those machines. Human being was to operate those machines. The machines have been fashioned, but not the human being. Now, how can you have a strong boat with rotten boards? It is a fallacy to believe that the boards that make up a boat will be weak and decayed, and all of a sudden they will become good and strong when they are put together. Similarly, when individuals in society are decayed and rotten in terms of the akhlaq, in terms of their faith, in terms of their behavior, in terms of their attitude, how are you going to have a healthy society? And that is what, you know, the people in Tasawwuf, they speak about. That rectify the individual, and when you rectify individuals, then that rectification of the individuals lead to a greater and a better society. So it's impossible to expect a healthy society and environment from individuals who are the brick of the society and they are decayed. It is in the decline of the individual that lies the root of all ills and evils that have plagued society. A society made up of such individuals will embody the faults of those individuals. They will become, so when we talk about why is the world so materialistic? Well, individuals have become materialistic. We are constantly only talking about materialism. We're only talking about things. We don't talk about things that really matter to us in our final analysis. So a society with such individuals will portray, how beautifully Mufti Sahib has put it, the greed of its traders, the seething discontent of the poor, the excessive self-indulgence and extravagance of the elite and the rich, the hard-heartedness of the employer, and the untrustworthiness of the employees. And the list will go on and on. But when the time of the Sahaba, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, worked on individuals to become good human beings, those human beings, the Sahaba, they were the bricks with which Islamic society had been built and were raised. That society were the lengthened shadows of the morality and the good akhlaq of the individuals that formed them. Their moral and spiritual qualities permeated the entire fabric of society. So the society mirrored the righteousness of the individual, the honesty of the trader, the compassion of the rich, the fair-mindedness of the judge, the sincerity and the well-wishing of the ruler, the warm-heartedness of the master and the employer, and the dutifulness of the employee. That is how a society becomes, when individuals are well-developed. Then that particular good individuals will make up a beautiful society. Today we put the cart before the horse. We want to rectify society without rectifying the individual. Now that is like putting the cart before the horse. That particular cart is going nowhere. That particular type of situation is going nowhere, you know. So you're putting the trailer in front of the car. Now how is that particular car going to go? So if we don't know the cart and the horse, you know, example, so we can put the trailer in the car. So how is it going to work? So that is what we really need. That our reformation must come from within, from the individual self.
Well, there's a few messages that have come through. You're just speaking on the renewal of life and what was the catalyst for them to renew their lives. The first one reads here that I attended an NLP, a neuro-linguistic program course, a few years ago. A big element of the course covered the language we use in our daily lives and how we can reframe it into more positive language. This was life-changing for me. In a way, now I choose to in the way that I now choose to communicate. And they give examples here, saying that many times we'll tell people or tell someone, "Don't forget to," but rather say, "Please remember to." Instead of telling kids, "Don't fight," rather tell them, "Play nicely." This way, the message is received is different, and you can have a more positive impact and influence on the people around you.
So true. I mean, language plays such an important, and today we are so negative. So start using positive language. It will make a difference in your life. It will make a difference. I remember once when Alim wrote a bayan, and I read it. So he also won in that particular bayan. There were three lessons that were from Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam growing up as an orphan. So one of the things that was, one of the benefits of that was that Allah Ta'ala himself took control of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's development. So sometimes a parent looks after the development, and here, because Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was an orphan, Allah Ta'ala directly took control of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's development and upbringing. And one of the things that were made mention of is, and in that lesson was, teach your children about the likes and dislikes of Allah Ta'ala. So instead of telling them, clean up your room, I don't like dirty rooms, I don't like untidy rooms, learn to tell them that clean up your room because Allah loves cleanliness. Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin wa yuhibbu al-mutatahirin. At-tuhuru shatru al-iman. Cleanliness is half of faith. So when you turn your children away from your own likes and dislikes, which sometimes can be subjective, and you take them towards the likes and dislikes of Allah Ta'ala, it makes a big difference in their tarbiyat. So I think it's an amazing thing, something that we can learn from. So it's something very similar to what the listener has brought forward, that learn to put forward things in a positive way rather than a negative way.
Well, there's a message here that has come through saying that there was an old man that had eight hairs on his head. So he went to the barber shop, and the barber in anger asked him that, what should I do? Should I cut or should I count the hair on your head? And he said, no. Kale, put mendi on it. Life is to enjoy with whatever you have, and you must keep smiling. If you feel stressed, give yourself a break.
Jazakallah. Very, very good. As I say, you got to look at the problem. You can always look at the negative, but start looking at the positive as far as possible, you know. And, of course, we all know the very famous incident, or the famous adage, you can say the glass is half empty, you can say it's half full. Normally, I must say, I'm someone who always look at the positive things in life. And even within my own colleagues and own my family, I always tell people, if you keep talking about that, look at all the other many good things Allah Ta'ala has given us. So start looking at the good things.
Well, message is saying that Alhamdulillah, Jazakumullah Khairan for the lovely topic, and speaking about, you know, renewal of life. They say that I am trying, but sometimes there are huge obstacles. Sometimes it's from family members, sometimes it's from your spouse, it could be from the husband or the wife. How do you work around this, that you know, your daily interaction is with that person, is with your spouse, and their behavior affects your ability to renew your life or to live a better life? How would you go about that? You know, we're not all eagles where we can fly to the top of a mountain for and be away from everyone. So how do we deal with these type of challenges?
They say a plane always fly against the wind, not with the wind. So I think really the thing is that it's impossible for you to have a life without any particular type of challenges and obstacles. Obstacles are going to be there. I mean, you take the example of the eagle. That's a perfect example. There was an obstacle. It was going to lose its prowess in its hunting. So it looked at that obstacle and it rectified that obstacle. It didn't just go to a mountaintop, but there was an obstacle and it took away. It took into account that obstacle and it worked around that obstacle by finding a solution with regard to the obstacle. Find a solution with regard to it. This example that I heard from my Shamal al-Thalwi Rahmatullah Ali was that I think it was Alamgir Rahmatullah Ali who at the beginning of the new season when fruits first come out, then it is sunnah that a small child eats the first fruits. So the first fruits came, they called a small child and it quickly ate the fruit without any hesitancy. And thereafter, when the elderly people started eating that fruit after he first ate it, you know, they couldn't eat it because they found it so unpalatable. It was sour and bitter and they couldn't take it. So the Alamgir asked the small person, didn't you find it sour and that? Why did you eat it? He said, yes, I also found it sour. I was about to throw it out and then I remembered that Allah Ta'ala in my small, brief life has given me so many times sweet fruit which I ate without being sufficiently grateful. And now when Allah Ta'ala gave me one day sour fruit, I felt ashamed of throwing it up because I wasn't sufficiently grateful for all the sweet fruit Allah gave me. So if Allah Ta'ala gave me one time sour fruit, so why must I complain? So I found it sour, but I ate it up because of that. Now, yes, that's exactly the point. You are going to get sour fruit from time to time. Then you sometimes counter it with the many times the sweet fruit Allah Ta'ala has given you instead of focusing on the sour fruit or the bitter fruit, whatever you want to call it. Look at how many times Allah Ta'ala has given you the good fruit. So if there is obstacles, look at the opportunities. Find the opportunities and make the best of those opportunities to be able to reach your goal.
Renewal, I feel personally, is to start reflecting on our past mistakes. We should ask Allah for Tawbah and trying to change. We shouldn't be making the same mistakes that we made in the past. That we need to learn from our mistakes, learn from the mistakes that we have made and avoid that going forward. That's one of the ways to renew your life, Mulana.
Yes, very important. I mean, one of the things with regard to you can't look at your guna and sins. Right, in the sense that it doesn't mean that you don't worry about it, but you look at, so you have to raise and build one's future upon the remains of your past. Do not hesitate because of the numerous sins committed. For even if they were as large as all the foam of the sea. Now, you know, if you sit in a beach and you just look at the foam of the sea of one beach, you won't be able to see that. Can someone commit so many guna as the amount of foam in the entire seas of the world? No. But Allah Ta'ala had said Allah would forgive them all if one sincerely turned towards Allah Ta'ala in repentance. One past sins should not be a hindrance to one's truthful return to Allah Ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made mention with regard to it, Ya ibadi alladhina asrafu ala anfusim, O you who have done wrong unto your soul, La taqnatu min rahmatillah, don't lose hope and despair of the mercy of Allah. And in the hadith of Qudsi, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O son of Adam, certainly I shall continue to pardon you as long as you supplicate and ask me for forgiveness, and you hope for my forgiveness, and whatever your faults and sins may be, I do not mind. O son of Adam, even if your sins pile up as high as the sky, and you ask for forgiveness, and I will forgive you, fala ubali, and I will not even worry about it. I will not even mind in forgiving you, no matter how much your sins. O son of Adam, O Bani Adam, if you come to me with an earth full of faults and sins, and meet me, not associating anything with me, I will come to you with an earth full of forgiveness. These type of hadith instill hope after despair and lack of will. They provide the individual with the determination he was lacking to adopt to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and renew his life after having had a deviated and corrupted past. And one important thing is you cannot delay this because you don't know when death might overtake you.
Yeah, every morning, every evening we have this opportunity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives a person, no matter how great the sin, that turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask, beg of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tawbah, and of course a firm intention that going forward a person will not return to that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will surely forgive that person. So whatever it is, never lose hope in the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Well, I can continue.
Any delay in starting to renew your life and improve your work would simply mean extending the bleak period which you should have an intention to leave behind, right? And leaving you, if you delay, it will leave you defeated by your own desires and negligence. It could easily be a way of serious disintegration, which is the feared calamity. In this context, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, as narrated in Sahih Muslim, the repentant person, the person who wants to make a change, who asks Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, waits for the mercy of Allah. But the proud one expects to avoid the mercy of Allah. O servant of Allah, said Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you should know that everyone will come to see his deeds and will not leave this world until he sees the good and bad of his deeds. And innamal ibratu bil khawatim. And the emphasis is on the deeds with which the individual concludes his life. Allah Ta'ala will resurrect you in the way that you conclude your life. You die according to how you live, and you are resurrected according to how you die. Let me repeat that. Allah Ta'ala will give you death according to how you lead your life, and Allah will resurrect you according to how you die. So the night and day are expedient in your life, so approach them carefully with respect to the hereafter, and avoid delaying your repentance, for death comes upon you many a times as a surprise. None of you should be deluded and rely solely. We do have expectancy and we do hope, but none of you should be deluded and rely solely on the mercy of Allah. For paradise and hell are nearer to a person than his shoelace. It's nearer to you. Jannat and Jahannam is more nearer to you than your shoelace. And then Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the verse in Surah Zilzal, فَمَن يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. Whoever does an iota of good, he will see it before him on the day of Qiyamah, and whoever does an iota of evil will see it in front of him. So when Nabi Karim Sawasam said, Jannat and Jahannam is closer to you than your shoelace, it means it is within your grasp by you making an effort, and in which direction you make that effort. Therefore, we make this dua. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-jannah wa ma qarraba ilayha min qawlin wa fi'lin wa amal. Wa na'udhu baka min an-nar wa ma qarraba ilayha min qawlin wa fi'lin wa amal. Oh Allah, I ask you for jannah and everything that brings me closer toward jannah in terms of my statements, in terms of my amal, in terms of my deeds. And I seek protection from you, oh Allah, from jahannam, and everything that leads me closer towards jahannam in terms of my deeds, in terms of my statements, in terms of my amal. Subhanallah. Jannat and Jahannam, remember, is closer to you than this, than your own shoelace. Make an effort towards that which you want in the final analysis.
Subhanallah. Just a few minutes left. I'll just go through one or two more responses, or one response from one of the listeners on renewing your life. Part of renewing your life is learning to forgive other people. Sometimes we get so caught up with grudges that we're holding that this then prevents us from living a newer and better life.
Definitely, there's no doubt. I mean, one of the ways that you got to rid yourself of negativity until before you go forward. Otherwise, you're going to be constantly caught up in your negativity. If you're going to just be caught up in bitterness and in different types of all these type of things, then how are you going to go forward? And I really, some things you have to move forward with regard to things and renew. You know, stay away from your bitterness and forgive people and move ahead.
Well, we've come to the end of the program. Anything else Ma wants to end off on?
No, nothing. We've made mention of it. Inshallah, we will try and count or at least recount some of the things that we have done. So I think it's important that we always look forward. And there's so many ways you can look at, you know, the author gives us such a beautiful example. He says that you're constantly reorganizing yourself. Right. So sometimes you come into your office and you remove scattered papers and old notes. Right. You come into the kitchen and you remove things that are yesterday's dirty dishes, for example. So you put everything in order and disposing of any useless items. I must tell you, I'm find it very difficult to do that. I got things that I'm supposed to read for the past 5 years in near my bookshelf, and I haven't been able to finish it, and I haven't been able to put it away. I said, no, I'm going to read it one day. I'm going to read it. But sometimes you have to organize yourself, putting everything in order and disposing of any useless items. A similar effort should be done on a daily basis with regard to your moral state. You know, take away the negativity, take away the things, reorganize yourself, renew yourself to be able to face the challenges spiritually.
Jazakumullah khair, maaf to you. Jazakumullah khair for the lovely program. And inshallah, we will speak to Malana next week.
Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.